is America's game. Now, stop humming, it's everything to change.
The change.
That warp tool made you open your brain.
Open your brain.
Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name.
Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Cop on my intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back to America's Game, episode number 55 this week, and I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter, at Eric Vanek NFL. You can follow the show at America's Game Pod as well. Follow South Harmon, at South Harmon FF on YouTube and Twitter as well. Always got a bunch of live video streams going on the YouTube, and all kinds of other good things going on the YouTube as well. So make sure you guys check that out. Subscribe on any of your podcast platforms to the South Harmon Dynasty Football Network too. We got a couple of new shows that are out there. Koopa shows on there. Once the season gets going here, I want to bring this up too. I'll be doing the waiver wire show every Tuesday morning again for you guys, so that'll be on there. Got a lot of positive reviews last year on the waiver wire show. I know Koopa's talked about it on his show, how much the waiver wire show helped him. I'm not going to give you those typical, hey, pick up Braylon Allen. You know, everybody owns Braylon Allen at this point. I'm diving in deep to the deeper targets that you can pick up. You know, somebody who's slowly getting more and more snaps as the season goes on. There is an injury, who's the backups, that kind of stuff. So you can kind of look forward to that kind of analysis on the waiver wire shows. If you want just your typical redraft waiver wire show, that's not the show for you. This is for deeper leagues. This is for the degenerates. So tap in every Tuesday morning once the season starts. We'll be doing that. A couple other things before we get started here as well. We're going to be doing a South Harmon Pick'em League. So it's going to be a $20 entry fee. It's going to be on Sleeper. And we're going to be picking against the spreads all year. First and second place will get paid out as well. So if you're interested in joining that, hit me up on Twitter. Hit up any of the guys on Twitter. They'll be able to help you out too, or send you over to me. And then I can get you the link. The league safe is in there. It's going to be a $20 entry fee. First and second place will get the prize money. You know, we'll determine what the prize money is going to be once we see how many people actually sign up for this. So far, I think I got about 8 to 10 people. I started it like right last week when the craziness of the Fantasy Football Expo was going around, so not a lot of people were around. But if you are interested in, reach out to me. I will definitely get you the link to join that, and you can pay up and join the South Harmon Pick'em League. So that'll be cool. And then also one other thing for Sunday mornings. Start Sit Show. We'll be back our third season doing this. So myself, Adam, Mike, and then a guest usually, or we might have more people this year. Obviously, we have Cody and Maddie joining the squad, Matt Dennis, and the rest of the guys that joined as well. If you guys want to check that out every Sunday morning, we're helping you guys set your lineups every single day or every single Sunday. We got, man, it's so much fun doing it with those guys. We have a blast. We have a lot of laughs. Take your questions live in the YouTube chat as well. So if you guys are interested in that, Sunday mornings, South Harmon's the place to be. Come check in with us for Start Sit shows every Sunday morning. All right, with that all out of the way, this week and probably next week too, since I got a lot of stuff going on right now. I am moving in real life, so going to have to record probably this week and next week as solo shows, unfortunately. We'll get back to getting the guests on there. I know Scott Connor has said he will do a deep breakdown of all the depth charts, depth chart porn as we call it, once the rosters do get cut down here in a couple weeks. So we will have that episode for you as well coming up soon. But yeah, for this next couple weeks, it's just going to be me right now. And what I want to do is kind of just go over the news and notes, what I'm seeing and hearing, and kind of what I saw from the from the preseason games this past week. So let's go into that right now. So we're going to start off with last Thursday's games. Well, Carolina, New England, kind of what I saw. I'm just going to go through each team here, kind of look at the stats and what I saw. So Carolina here first. Obviously, Bryce Young, Andy Dalton, who's injured, did not play. So it was Jack Plummer and Jake Luton. We did not get a whole lot here from the passing game. So honestly, not much to be gained here. Jack Plummer didn't look great. Jake Luton had like a week of practice with the team, so he didn't know much of the offense at all. So not going to really give them too much there. Running backs there. So Mike Boone got the majority of the carries, 8 carries for 34 yards. It's Mike Boone. He's the fourth running back at best. Jaden Sheridan, who was undrafted free agent from them, 4 carries, 12 yards. Dylan Johnson, 2 catches, 2 runs, 6 yards. So I don't think Sheridan or Dylan Johnson are going to make the active roster. Could they make the taxi squad for them? Absolutely. But honestly, not much to gain from the running game or the passing game there. Receiving wise, like I said, it's kind of a lot of the same thing. Amir Smith-Marset led the team, 4 for 24. Jordan Matthews, the former Eagle 49er, he played for a couple different teams, 3 for 48. Mike Boone had 3 for 13. So, yeah, not a lot there. Jalen Coker, another UDFA that I liked during the offseason, he didn't do very much. He only had 2 targets, 1 catch for 3 yards. Terrace Marshall, 2 targets, nothing. Jonathan Mingo, 1 target, nothing. So, honestly, Carolina was a big, fat flop in preseason week one, and I don't think you could take much away from them. Let's flip over now to New England, who was the home team in this one. So Jacoby Brissett started. He went 0 for 3. You know, he was out one series and out. So not much to be gained there from Jacoby Brissett. But I think if I had to put a number on it right now, it is probably like 90-10 that Jacoby Brissett is the day one starter this year for New England, especially once I get to my last point here with them. Drake May, he went on that one series as well, 2 for 3, 19 yards. I thought he looked okay. You know, it wasn't anything spectacular. Not much you can glean from a couple of plays from Drake May. And then Bailey Zappe came in and played most of the second and third quarter. The offensive line is bad. And Bailey Zappe is just not. I don't think he's going to make this team. Like, Joe Milton was definitely a lot better, more impressive. I think Bailey Zappe is definitely, you know, a very average backup quarterback to below average backup quarterback in this league. Like, do I think he sticks in the NFL? Sure. Somebody's going to pick him up and he's going to be like the third guy, or he's going to be on the taxi squad this year. But I think, I don't know. I don't think Bailey Zappi's going to make this team this year. But Joe Milton, who really came in 4 for 6, 54 yards. He threw a touchdown pass to Jackson for a 38-yard pass, which was a really nice play. Really good to see that. Obviously, Joe Milton has some scrambling ability, too. 5 rushes for 22 yards. I think Joe Milton is all but locked up this job here for the Patriots this year as the third quarterback. Running back. So let's take a look at those guys a little bit. Obviously, Stevenson got in there a little bit. Antonio Gibson, not much to glean from those guys. But after that, it was Kevin Harris. And I thought Kevin Harris looked pretty decent. He had 8 carries for 22 yards and a touchdown. He caught 1 pass for 6 yards as well. I think Kevin Harris showed that he can play in the NFL and he could be a reliable third running back on this team. And in a pinch, you know, if they have to use him, I think Kevin Harris can do the job. So I like Kevin Harris as the third running back. Jamichael Hasty was also in there, 5 carries for 10 yards. So that's who Kevin Harris is competing with. Harris did a better job. And then Jennings, the other running back who came in late, 6 for 38. He had a couple of nice little runs there, but like I said, it was a fourth, fifth string running back. He's probably not going to make the team. He's probably a practice squad candidate at this point for Jennings. And then you look at the wide receiver. So Kayshon Boutte, he had a couple of really nice catches. He had 6 targets, 3 catches for 53 yards. I think most of them were from Bailey Zappe. I don't remember if all of them were, but I know the one 28-yard pass was from Bailey Zappi, and it was a really nice play by Butte. He went up and caught the ball because Zappi sailed it a little bit high, but Butte looked pretty decent. I think, especially with Juju Smith-Schuster being cut from this team, just a touch on Juju here real quick. If you have him, I think I talked about it last week before he even got cut that I was cutting him. So yeah, I think this gives you all the meaning to go ahead, cut Juju Smith-Schuster off of your rosters right now. Jalen Polk was in there, 3 for 14. Javon Baker, he played a little bit into the fourth quarter, I believe, so that he was like kind of not buried, but he's a little deeper on this roster right now, even though he's had a really good camp. He had 2 for 11. Jaheim Bell caught one for 11. I thought Jaheim Bell had played pretty decent. It sounds like he's having a good camp and should be locked in there as the third tight end for New England. But other than that, yeah, nothing too much here to gain from this game. You know, this is just a, you know, typical first preseason game, just kind of a lot of the rookies playing, a lot of the backups playing, kind of sloppy football. But the one thing I did want to bring up, I mentioned earlier about the Patriots, was the offensive line. They were okay in this game. It wasn't terrible. They played pretty well. But then they had a scrimmage this week against the Eagles, and the Eagles absolutely tore them apart. And obviously the Eagles have one of the best defensive lines in the league, but it was so bad that Drake May couldn't even get passes off. Jacoby Brissett couldn't get passes off. And the Eagles D-line just absolutely wrecked the Patriots. So that is one thing we're going to have to watch this year with the Patriots. I think it's more than likely Jacoby Brissett starts, because I think he can kind of handle that better than Drake May could. You don't want Drake May to go out there and pull a Sam Howell this year and get sacked 50 to 60 times this year, and Drake May just loses all of his confidence. So I think Jacoby Brissett, for that reason, until they get this offensive line situated, Brissett should be out there. Drake May should sit back and learn a little bit as much as he can. But yeah, this offensive line is probably going to be a problem all season long, especially if there's injuries to some of the main guys. Obviously, like Cole Strange suffered a really bad injury at the end of last year, and he isn't practicing yet. So that's one injury that's not helping things right now. So we'll see what happens here with the Patriots, but I'm not too high on them right now for this year just because of the injuries that are going on. All right, so the next game we're going to look at here is the Lions and the Giants. So looking back here, with the Lions here, they were the away team. So passing, we didn't see Jared Goff out there. It was Nate Sudfeld who started, and then Hendon Hooker took over in the second half. But Sudfeld played most of the game, was not pretty. 13 for 24, 96 yards and a pick. From what I was watching, the Lions offensive line, I'm guessing probably the starters didn't play as much, but the starting offensive line was not out there, and Nate Sudfeld was definitely taking some pressure there. So that's a little bit of concerning, but the Lions do have one of the better offensive lines in the league. So I'm not too worried about that. You know, with the second team, obviously they're going to get worked a little bit. Hendon Hooker, I thought he looked okay. He did end up leaving with some concussion-like symptoms, and then Sudfeld had to come back in the fourth quarter to finish it out. Was hoping to see a little bit more Hooker. I think Hooker's back practicing, so we'll get to see him more this week. But when Hooker was in there, I thought he looked decent. 5 for 9 for 36 yards, nothing great there, but 4 carries, 34 yards, actually led the team in rushing. So we saw some good plays there from Hooker. I want to see some more, though. The leading rusher for the Lions was rookie Sione Vaki, the fourth rounder that they drafted, who was a former defensive back / running back. Man, he had some really nice cuts in this game. Brian Baldinger on Twitter put out a nice cut up of Sione Vaki and how he just hit the outside, made a nice cut upfield, and gained some nice yards on a 15-yard run. I think Sione Vaki can play. So definitely, I think, a guy that could sneak in there as the third running back, fourth running back on this team. They have four guys here at the bottom: Zonovan Knight, Craig Reynolds, Jamar Jefferson, Jake Funk. All four of those guys are probably battling for the fourth running back spot if they even keep four. Those guys might have to show that they can play a little bit on special teams, but I think using a fourth round pick on Sione Vaki kind of locks him into this roster. They ain't going to cut a fourth round pick unless he's absolutely brutal. And Sione Vaki showed that he could play, and he's got a little bit more burst than like a Zonovan Knight or a Craig Reynolds have at this point. So I think those guys are going to be fighting for scraps here the last couple preseason games, and we'll see if they can even make the team. Wide receiver wise, so Isaiah Williams, the former Illinois quarterback slash wide receiver, he led the team with four catches for 35 yards. You know, I think that's a guy that could definitely make this team as a UDFA, as like the last wide receiver on the team. He has some special teams ability, so that's definitely a guy I targeted in the draft that I liked. I didn't pick him up too much, but we'll see if he does make the team. And in some of my return yardage leagues, that's definitely a guy I can be interested in. Donovan Peoples-Jones. So that one was concerning to me because he was playing into the fourth quarter. I saw him out there like with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So that shows me that Donovan Peoples-Jones is just not high on this team's list. And then they had Antoine Green, who they ended up cutting this week because of injury designation. He did get hurt. They were going to, you know, IR him, and he wanted waived with the injury designation. They did not want to get rid of him, but they gave him his choice to end up leaving. So that leads me to believe that the rumors are kind of true, even though he only had three targets in this game and didn't catch any of them, that, you know, Khalif Raymond and Darice Fountain are going to be, you know, competing there for the third wide receiver job. I think, you know, Raymond didn't play in this game, but Fountain, everything that we've read in camp and saw in camp so far is Fountain is doing really good and looks like he might be the favorite for the third wide receiver job on this Lions team. If not, he's at least a fourth. We know Khalif Raymond can play. He knows the offense. So I'm tending to lean towards it's probably going to be a mix between Raymond and Fountain, but I went ahead and picked up Fountain in all my places that I could pick him up this week. So Darice Fountain, that's definitely a guy you want to be in on. Some of the other highlights, I mean, it's just, you know, guys catching one ball here. So nothing too much to glean from the rest of the Lions team here. Let's switch over to the Giants, though. So Daniel Jones did not play in this one. Drew Lock was the starter. Drew Lock ended up leaving with an injury. He's probably week to week. And that's because the Giants offensive line is fucking awful. And we already knew that. Like, the whole second team was in there, and they were just getting constantly beat. Drew Lock was just taking shot after shot after shot in a preseason game, and that is not good. I think the Giants starting five is okay. Like, it's still bottom of the NFL, but it's not dead last. But if they start getting some injuries here on this Giants offensive line, it is going to be a nightmare for whoever's back there. Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito, whoever, because this, the depth on this offensive line is atrocious. So just pray the Giants starting five can stay together. And if anything, the last couple years we've learned is it's not going to happen. So Giants and the Patriots are two of my teams on my, wow, I'm watching out on these guys. I only want like the main weapons on those teams, like Neighbors, you know, the Patriots. Maybe I want Jalen Polk. I don't even really trust Ramondre Stevenson because I don't know how much that team's even going to score. Giants, I definitely want Neighbors because Neighbors just looks like a different player than some of these other guys. Like, he's on a different planet of how good he is. But yeah, that's my thoughts here on the Giants. I don't think it's going to look very good this year. DeVito, he came in and played most of the second half there after Locke got hurt. I thought DeVito looked okay. You know, he's probably going to make this team as the third quarterback. I don't see them cutting him, especially after he looked okay during the regular season last year. He had some moments, but he also had some very down moments too. Running back. So Tyrone Tracy, he started. He had 5 for 26. And then obviously he had the bad ankle sprain that happened in practice this week that kind of scared the fantasy community. So he's looking like he's okay, though, which is good to hear about Tyrone Tracy. I'm not dropping him or anything. I've seen somebody drop him. If somebody dropped him in your league, go ahead and spend the fab just to pick him up. You might not have him for the first couple of weeks, but I think that's a guy towards the end of the season, once he gets healthy from that ankle sprain, it's going to be a guy that should make a little bit of an impact in fantasy. Eric Gray was next, and Eric Gray was the fantasy player of the week, basically. He had two touchdowns. He had a 48-yard touchdown run and a 1-yard touchdown run. So Eric Gray, 4 carries, 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 4 catches for 46 yards. Eric Gray looked pretty good in his debut there. So I think, you know, that the Giants are going to be okay with if Tyrone Tracy misses a week or two. Eric Gray can step in. And they at least have 3 running backs that I feel comfortable are NFL running backs in Gray, Tracy, and Devin Singletary. The other one I wanted to bring up, though, is Dante Miller, the UDFA. 12 carries for 63 yards, and then he had 2 catches for 7 yards. Dante Miller, I thought, looked really good, too. Explosive. I think it's going to be hard to keep this guy off the field as well. Can they keep him on the roster? I hope so. Otherwise, I think Dante Miller could be a guy that maybe Dallas picks up, you know. Somebody that needs a running back could end up picking up, because I thought he looked pretty good. And if he continues to show out these next couple of games, I think it's going to make a really hard choice for the Giants on whether they can keep this kid or not, and risk, you know, him going to the practice squad. Wide receiver wise, so I talked about Eric Gray. Tyree Jackson, the tight end, had 2 for 34. That is it. Like, you know, Jalen Hyatt had a 1 catch for 0 yards. Allen Robinson, 1 for 9. Theo Johnson didn't play in this game. Or, I know he played, he just didn't record a catch or anything, I'm sorry, or even a target. But Daniel Bellinger, 1 for 7. So not really anything else too much to talk about there with the Giants. Next game up we're going to look at here is the Falcons and the Dolphins game, starting with the Falcons side of the ball. So Michael Penix was in there, 9 for 16, 104 yards. I thought Michael Penix looked good. Like, he just looked like he just did in college, man. He just sits back there. He can fire that ball in there. Really accurate passing. So, yeah, pretty good start there for Michael Penix. I was pretty happy with what I saw from him. Obviously, he's going to you know, be a backup here to start the year for Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, Penix looked good. Taylor Heinicke, 4 for 11, 11 yards, woof. Nathan Rourke, who they just picked up, 3 for 13, 37 yards, woof. Hopefully we'll see a little bit more from those guys in here in the next couple weeks. Running back. So only 2 running backs even really got carries here, and that was Jace McClellan, the rookie from Alabama. 9 carries for 30 yards. He also had 2 catches for 13 yards. I thought McClellan looked fine. Nothing, you know, egregious here. Carlos Washington, 16 carries for 25 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 catch for 13 yards. I think the stats don't do enough justice for Carlos Washington. I thought there's a couple runs there that I thought he looked pretty decent. This is a guy that I was on last year. It was him and Godwin Igabuke to make the roster last year. Igabuke, who had a really good camp too, beat him out, and Washington was on the practice squad all year. But I think it's going to probably be the same thing again this year for Washington. He's probably going to be on their practice squad. I would assume McClellan makes it just because he's the draft pick, the bigger name, all that stuff. But Carlos Washington, that's just a guy for my future that I'm going to keep an eye on. If a lot of injuries happen to this backfield, you know, that's a guy on the waiver wire show I'm going to point out quite a bit. Now, looking at the receiving, so Casey Washington, he led the team with 9 targets. He only had 3 catches for 27 yards. But Casey Washington is a guy who's gotten a lot of hype this offseason, too. So I'm kind of hoping, you know, he can show a little bit here, too. Chris Blair, the wide receiver, 2 for 45. He just had a 41-yard catch. That was pretty nice. But, yeah, none of these other receivers really stood out to me here. Obviously, you know, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, those guys did not play in this one game. Darnell Mooney, Kirk Cousins, those guys did not play. But, yeah, a couple nice outings there, from especially from Penix. I thought Penix looked pretty good. On to the Dolphins side of the ball now. So I think Mike White, 4 for 14, 26 yards, woof. And that's coming from a Mike White truther. And he was the one who ended the game, too. He didn't even start. Skylar Thompson is the one who started. Skylar Thompson went 8 for 19, 95 yards with a touchdown and a pick. I thought Skylar Thompson looked okay at times, and other times not so good, especially on the interception wasn't very good. But I think Skylar Thompson right now probably has the lead for the backup job right now, especially with how bad Mike White has been playing. Running backs here. So I think the one we want to highlight is the rookie Jalen Wright. I don't think he did not start the game, but he was he came in there 10 for 55 and a rushing touchdown from Jalen Wright. And you could just tell, like, he's got that speed. He gets to that outside, man, and he's going to cut it up, make a big run. He had a couple really nice plays there from Jalen Wright. One where he just cut it back across the field there and made a really, really nice big-time run there. So Jalen Wright, man, everything that we've heard and seen from him, he's looking really good. So I like Jalen Wright. That's a guy in my redraft leagues I'm definitely wanting to stash on my bench for sure, because if there's some injuries to this Dolphins team, he's going to be a big part of their offense. Chris Brooks, he went 12 for 40. Chris Brooks is a guy that was last year. He was like the fifth running back. I mean, there's so many running backs here. He's auditioning for another team. There's just no way they can keep him unless he makes the practice squad, basically, after everybody just passes on him. So Chris Brooks, I think that's a guy that if he ever gets an opportunity to play, I think he can play a little bit, but he's going to have to get that opportunity. Jeff Wilson played a little bit. I think he was the starter here. 5 for 7, nothing great, but, you know, Jeff Wilson has looked decent when he has played. Receiving wise, so Tanner Connor, the tight end, I kind of talked about him last week. Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel really likes Tanner Connor. This is kind of like his pet project from a couple years ago, and he's finally starting to like get it. He's athletic, very athletic, really good player. I think there's a pretty good shot he makes the roster as the third tight end. And I actually am one of my really deeper leagues that's 63-man rosters with 32 teams. I ended up picking up Tanner Connor this week. So I'll see what happens there with Tanner Connor. Jeff Wilson, he had 3 catches, 18 yards. He caught a touchdown pass from Skylar Thompson, so that was in there. But after that, literally nobody else did anything. Like Malik Washington, 4 targets, 1 catch for 5 yards. He did have a rush for 21 yards on an end around. That was really nice design play for Malik Washington, but Malik Washington's probably going to be the 4th or 5th receiver on this team this year. Nobody else really to talk about there on the wide receiver wise for the Dolphins. Next game up here is going to be the Texans and the Steelers. So starting with the Texans side of the ball, the starters did play a drive out there. C.J. Stroud just went out there and led them right down the field, 2 for 4, 41 yards and a touchdown pass to Tank Dell. Really nice play to Tank Dell. Tank Dell went up and got it down the field. Nice play. Broke a tackle. That was kind of scary. There was a guy, he kind of stumbled there at the end, and a guy dove at his leg like, oh, my God, don't re-break that leg. And that was a little bit scary, but he broke through it, and Tank Dell scored the touchdown on that. Really nice to see. Tank Dell is already out there. He's playing. He looks healthy, looks explosive. I have no worries about Tank Dell. And you just look at this offense, man, like with Stroud, with Nico Collins, who didn't even play, Tank Dell. Like, this is going to be one of the most explosive offenses in the league. So if you can get a couple pieces of this offense this year, you're going to be sitting pretty. Davis Mills. So I mentioned him last week, too. Like, after the Hall of Fame game, Davis Mills looks pretty good. 8 for 13, 89 yards. Obviously, this is like his 4th or 5th year in the league. If something happens to C.J. Stroud, like, I'm not saying Davis Mills is going to come in and light up the world, but Davis Mills can hold his own. He's an NFL quarterback, and especially with how us in fantasy now are holding on to these backups more, Davis Mills is definitely somebody I want to hold as a backup in my leagues right now. Case Keenum and Tim Boyle also played as well. They played, like, in the 4th quarter. You know, that's a battle for the 3rd job. Probably going to be Case Keenum's. running back wise here for the Texans. So Jawar Jordan led the team with 6 for 22. Cam Akers had 6 for 17. Damian Pierce 4 for 4. So there wasn't a lot of running room here. Joe Mixon did not play. You know, Jawar Jordan is probably fighting for the fourth running back job with Akers and Ogunwale ahead of him, and Damian Pierce too, to speak of it. He's probably battling with those guys. So we'll see if Jawar Jordan could even make this team. He was the only one that really was of note there. Ogunwale did have a rushing touchdown from the 4-yard line. Wide receiver, so Robert Woods. Not great that you have a star player in Robert Woods playing into the second quarter, but here we are. But he had 4 for 42. Obviously, Robert Woods is a very solid veteran player. Obviously, he's not the old Robert Woods that we used to know from the Rams and Buffalo and all that. But Woods, he is what he is. I'm not rostering him anywhere. Cade Stover, 4 targets, 3 catches, 32 yards. All I kept reading about Cade Stover on Texan stuff is he's just been very impressive. Like, he gets it. He learned the offense quickly, and he's a reliable second-tier option for this team. So, you know, if something were to happen to Dalton Schultz, I have no problem with them sticking in Cade Stover, and I think Cade Stover can give you the same production, if not, you know, just as good as Dalton Schultz, you know, step below. Obviously, his blocking is really good. He was a really good blocker there at Ohio State as well. So, yeah, Cade Stover, definitely a guy I'm going to be keeping on my teams as a backup tight end in formats that warrant keeping those guys. Cam Akers, 3 for 24 receiving, so it's good to see Cam Akers. He's actually playing. He's out there. He's doing good, but it's still coming off 2 Achilles tears, man. I don't trust it. Quintez Cephas, he got 3 catches for 18 yards. Nice to see him still in the league and doing it. Yeah, other than that, not too much else to talk about on the Texans there. Let's switch over here to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So obviously Justin Fields started 5 for 6, 67 yards. So not bad from Justin Fields. He did have some, you know, he's got a, he's scrambling out of the pocket and all that kind of stuff still. But from everything that we've heard on Fields, it's been pretty decent so far. I think Russell Wilson is still the guy, but, you know, I think Justin Fields has at least kicked open the door a little bit to maybe have a chance to be the guy. Kyle Allen played most of the rest of the game, 17 for 23, 193 yards, a touchdown and a pick from Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen is locked in as the third quarterback on this team, so nothing really major to report there. Running backs for the Steelers. So Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren both started the game out there. Najee had 3 for 9, Jaylen Warren 3 for 11. Najee had 1 catch for 16 yards, which was a really nice play. Jaylen Warren did not have anything in the passing game, but nice to see both of those guys are out there. I think both of them are going to get used a ton this year. Kind of just think about what Arthur Smith has done with the Falcons the last couple of years with multiple backs, especially Algier and Bijan last year, Cordarrelle Patterson and Algier, you know, just, you know, a couple of guys that they've had. So I think you could expect the Steelers to have definitely 2 running backs this year that are going to be fantasy relevant, that are probably going to be every week RB2, the flexes for you. Daywon Edwards, the rookie out of Georgia, UDFA, he had a touchdown run in the fourth quarter, 1-yard run up the middle. He had 3 carries for 28 yards. I'd like to see a little bit more of Daywon Edwards as we go here throughout the preseason. Obviously, they were down a little bit in this game until Edwards scored there in the fourth quarter. But hopefully we get to see a little bit more of the running game here from the Steelers. Any of the other receivers, nothing too major to note there. Like Michael Pirine, 4 for 10, no thanks. That's about it there. Wide receiver-wise, so Calvin Austin, 2 for 49. Scotty Miller, 3 for 47. Dez Fitzpatrick, 1 for 34. George Pickens had 2 catches for 25 yards on the opening drive there with Justin Fields. Van Jefferson, 1 for 20. So a couple nice outings there from the receivers. Connor Hayward, shout out to Koopa, one of Koopa's favorite players. Connor Hayward scored a touchdown from the 6-yard line, 6-yard pass from Kyle Allen in the third quarter.
So, yeah, nothing too much there. I mean, Calvin Austin does this every single preseason. He has big games, and then regular season comes, and he doesn't do shit. So I'm not buying into the Calvin Austin hype. Scotty Miller is just a depth piece. And we've seen what Arthur Smith offenses look like. Like, it's the receiver, first receiver, the tight end, and the running backs. That's it. Like, any of these secondary pieces like Van Jefferson or anything like that, I'm not too interested in. I'll be interested if they do trade for Brandon Ayuk and we have Ayuk and Pickens out there. Then I'll definitely be a little more interested in two receivers. But as for any of these other receivers, I'm not too interested right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they got going on there. Next game up here is going to be the Eagles and the Ravens. So let's start here with the Eagles side of the ball first. So Kenny Pickett was the starter, 14 for 22, 89 yards and one touchdown. I thought Pickett looked fine. Like, you know, he's looked like he has in the past. So I'm not too worried about Kenny Pickett. I think if something were to happen to Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett can definitely run the offense. So if Pickett ended up getting dropped for some reason in your league, definitely pick him up as a solid backup quarterback. Tanner McKee, not so great, though. 5 for 15, 39 yards. Not a great stat line there from Tanner McKee, but he probably has the third quarterback job locked up. Running back-wise here, so obviously Barkley didn't play, but everybody else did play. So Kenny Gainwell, 4 for 23. He was in there. Will Shipley, 7 for 23. Kendall Milton, the UDFA out of Georgia, he had 9 for 39, so a couple nice runs there from Kendall Milton. Tyrion Davis-Price, 6 for 34. Lou Nichols, 7 for 21, and Lou Nichols had the touchdown there in the third quarter up the middle. I believe Lou Nichols played ahead of Tyrion Davis-Price, too, so that is something to note. If you're still holding on to Tyrion Davis-Price, I think it's okay to cut him. I think this team is probably just going to hold on to three running backs, Barkley, Shipley, and Gainwell, and they probably carry one, maybe two of these guys on their practice squads. That's kind of what I'm thinking here with the Eagles. Wide receiver-wise, so John Ross led the team in targets and catches, yards. He had 5 targets, 3 catches, 28 yards, so nice to see. John Ross is getting out there and doing pretty good. Brenton Covey, the former Utah receiver, 4 for 25. Grant Calcaterra, 2 for 14. Johnny Wilson, 1 for 7. Will Shipley, 1 for 7. Ania Smith, 1 for 7. So, yeah, nothing too major there from the wide receivers. I don't think anybody really stood out. I mean, you know, your leading receiver has 28 yards, so I don't think you can really stand out too much there. On to the Ravens now. So, quarterback, Josh Johnson, he started. And, man, it's just... It looks rough out there for Josh Johnson. I just think maybe the age has caught up to him a little bit. 4 for 12, 62 yards. The reports from early on in camp when Lamar was missing that Josh Johnson was not doing very good. And I think it's kind of trickled over here into the preseason. Like, I think Josh Johnson just might have lost it, to be honest with you. This is a team... Like, I like Devin Leary. Devin Leary came in 6 for 10, 37 yards. I definitely want to see a little bit more of Devin Leary once we get into, you know, some more of the preseason games here. But I think this team really needs to look at adding a Ryan Tannehill or somebody of that nature. Maybe the Browns cut Tyler Huntley again. Can they bring back Tyler Huntley? I think that would probably be a better option than Josh Johnson right now. Running back-wise, so Owen Wright came in and played. He had 7 carries for 33 yards, and it sounds like he has a chance to maybe be over Rasheen Ali to start the year as, like, the third guy. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. I've seen some Owen Wright pickups this week. Rasheen Ali, 10 carries for 26 yards. He had 1 catch for 4 yards. Chris Collier got in there, 3 for 11. Devin Leary had a sneak up the middle for a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Wide receiver, so Dayton Wade, the UDFA that they picked up, 4 for 27. He led them. Tylan Wallace had a couple nice catches, 2 for 26 on those. But other than that, another, you know, game where a lot of receivers didn't catch the ball. They only completed 10 passes the whole game, so not too much to go over there with the wide receivers. Now let's go over to the Washington Commanders and the New York Jets. All right, so taking a look here at the Washington Commanders to start. So obviously Jaden Daniels got the start. He played one drive, and he looked excellent. 2 for 3 for 45 yards. He threw a nice little 42-yard dot to Diami Brown. That was a really nice play. He also had a touchdown run, 1 for 3 yards on the goal line there, a RPO type of play. So nice play there by Jaden Daniels. Yeah, Jaden Daniels, everything is just sounding like he looks like he's the man. He's ready to go. So full go for Jaden Daniels. Marcus Mariota, he only played a little bit, 1 for 1, 6 yards. I mean, we know what Marcus Mariota is at this point. Sam Hartman came in and played 8 for 13 for 83 yards. He was the third quarterback through. I actually thought Sam Hartman looked pretty decent. He scrambled 2 for 15. He had the 17-yard run was his longest. I thought Sam Hartman looked pretty decent. I mean, for a third quarterback with a potential maybe in the future to be a backup, I thought Sam Hartman looked fine. So if you do have Sam Hartman on some of your deeper teams, I don't think that's a bad stash. And then Jeff Driscoll, he played a lot of the fourth quarter there. 7 for 15, 87 yards. It's Jeff Driscoll. We don't care about Jeff Driscoll. Running backs. So Michael Wiley, he had 8 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown there in the fourth quarter. Michael Wiley, I've seen one Washington reporter have him over Chris Rodriguez maybe to make the team. Chris Rodriguez had 5 carries for 0 yards in this one. So take that with a grain of salt, but I think Michael Wiley is going to be on the practice squad at least. I think he's pretty talented running back out of Arizona that I liked. He's got some speed, some burst. I think Michael Wiley makes this team at least as on the practice squad. There's a possibility somebody picks him up too if he continues to show that he can play at this level. I think there's definitely room for Michael Wiley to get picked up out there too. Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler did start the game. They both had really good plays there. 5 for 20 for Brian Robinson on the ground. Eckler had 2 for 7. Eckler had a target, nothing there. Brian Robinson didn't have anything in the pass game, but it's from everything that we've heard, it's Brian Robinson is the man, and Eckler is going to be kind of like the third down back, and maybe he'll get a series or two to kind of spell Robinson, but Robinson ahead of Eckler, and that's kind of how it's been drafted all offseason. Nothing too much else to report there on the running backs of note. Wide receivers and tight ends. So Ben Sinnott, he played quite a bit of snaps. He had 3 catches for 57 yards. Looked athletic, looked really good. I think he's not going to be the starter to start the year at least. I think it's going to maybe take him half a year to kind of unseat Zach Ertz. I think Zach Ertz is going to get the job here. Zach Ertz didn't even play in this game. They're arresting him. But I think Sinnott is going to be definitely a player in this league. It might not take till halfway through the season before he makes his stamp. But yeah, I think Sinnott's good. Diami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus kind of split the third receiver duties. And when they went to 3 wide receivers, it was Diami Brown or Zaccheaus on the outside, McLaurin on the outside, and Jahan Dotson is the one who kicked into the slot. So it seems like Dotson is going to be the slot receiver. And Luke McCaffrey, he played late into the game. Luke McCaffrey is probably just like a backup at this point. If an injury happens, he'll get in there. But Sinnott looked good. Diami Brown, obviously, he had the big catch there from Jaden Daniels. It sounds like Diami Brown's really going to have a good shot on this team, and he might actually be the second outside starting receiver on this team. And if you think about Jaden Daniels and what he did really good at LSU and throwing the ball down the field, like that's what Diami Brown does really well. Goes and gets it down the field, speedster type. So maybe Diami Brown in some deeper leagues could be worth a pickup. Bryson Tremaine, the guy I've talked about quite a bit as having a really good camp. He had 1 catch for 16 yards in this one on 3 targets, so he was getting targeted. But everybody else is just 1 catch, you know, 1 catch, 1 catch. Nothing really of note there for the Commanders. Let's take a look at the Jets now. So Tyrod Taylor started, was not very good. 1 for 2, -1. You know, nothing there to report there on Tyrod Taylor. Adrian Martinez, he's got a lot of run there. He had 6 for 10 for 104 yards. I actually thought Adrian Martinez looked pretty decent. He also had 2 carries for 24 yards. Obviously, he's a little bit mobile. I thought Martinez looked pretty decent. So, can he hold in as the third? I don't know. We haven't seen Jordan Travis yet. Jordan Travis still hasn't been lifted off the NFI list. So, I don't know what's going to happen there with Jordan Travis. Could they IR Jordan Travis for the full season? I think that's likely. Or they could just keep him on the NFI list, and then when they're ready to activate him, they can activate him. Running back wise, so I think the big one was Braylon Allen. 6 for 54, 9 yards per carry. Braylon Allen looks like a dude, like absolutely a dude out there. So I think if Breece Hall were to go down, I think Braylon Allen can handle it and handle it pretty well. Like, obviously, he's not going to be Breece Hall. There's very many Breece Halls on this planet. But Braylon Allen, I think, can do a really good job. And he's kind of like a Zach Charbonnet for me. I think he's one of the better handcuffs in the league right now. So do with that information what you will. Izzy Abanikanda, 6 for 17 and a touchdown. Obviously, his yards per carry was not very good. But he did get a touchdown there in the fourth quarter. Now he is playing into the fourth quarter. That's a little bit of a concern for Izzy Abanikanda. Isaiah Davis, he had 4 for 8 in the rushing, but he did a lot of damage in the receiving game. 4 for 33 there from Isaiah Davis, and I thought Isaiah Davis looked pretty decent on those catches. So definitely think Isaiah Davis is in the conversation there to be the RB3 here. Xavien Valade, who's been around the league here a little bit, 8 for 11, nothing major there. Receiver wise, so Brad Smith, 2 for 70 on his catches. He made a couple nice plays. I talked about Isaiah Davis. Malachi Corley, 4 for 27. A little bit concerning that Malachi Corley was out there into the third quarter, but it just sounds like Xavier Gibson is going to be their starting slot receiver and not Malachi Corley. Corley's kind of buried right now. Jason Brownlee, he's the one who caught the touchdown pass from Peasley in the the second quarter there. He was actually I didn't realize that Peasley was the one that was in there in the second quarter. He was 8 for 11, 73 and a touchdown, and then he threw that one for 12 for a touchdown to Jason Brownlee, who had made a really nice catch in the back of the end zone. But that is about it for the Jets and their pass catchers here. Let's go over now to Chicago and Buffalo. So we're going to start here on the Chicago Bears side. Caleb Williams started 4 for 7, 95 yards, 1 carry for 13 yards. I thought Caleb Williams looked excellent. That offensive line giving him a lot of time to throw the ball to. So Bears offensive line is definitely improved. And Caleb Williams looked like he's picking up the offense quite well. So I am excited for Caleb Williams this year. I think maybe he has a shot to be a quarterback one this year, which is, you know, finishing in the top 12. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility here for Caleb Williams. Obviously, the backups, Tyson Bagenet, 5 for 87, 47 yards. Austin Reed, 2 for 4, 50 yards. And Brett Rypien, 1 for 2 for 10 yards. So nothing really too much to glean there. Running back-wise, though, so Khalil Herbert, 9 for 31. I think that was decent. Roshan Johnson, doesn't look like he played in this one. Or he might be hurt. I forget. And then I think the one I want to bring up is the guy I've shitted on for 2-3 years now, Velus Jones. Velus Jones is a running back. I'm interested. He looks really explosive with the ball in his hands. 6 for 34 and a touchdown. Now, he's still learning the nuances of the position and all that. I get that. But, man, I think Velus Jones is definitely making an impression to make this team as maybe their fourth running back slash kick returner guy, and obviously receiver too. So Velus Jones, definitely somebody in my really deep leagues I'm interested in. Ian Wheeler, who they you saw on Hard Knocks too, 5 for 43, 2 touchdowns. He can play too, man. I don't know if he's going to make the roster, but I think the practice squad, definitely a possibility here for Wheeler. And I thought he looked the part too, so pretty good there. receivers. So DeAndre Swift caught a broken play catch from Caleb Williams, took it 42 yards down the left sideline. That was really nice to see from Swift. Dante Pettis, 1 for 34. Tommy Sweeney, 2 for 29 from the tight end spot. DJ Moore caught 2 for 27 from Caleb. Cole Kmet, 1 for 25. So, yeah, a couple nice plays there. Romo Odunze had one target, didn't do anything. But everything that we're hearing on Romo Odunze is, you know, he's really good too. So excited to see what this Bears offense can do more of here as the preseason goes on. Looking at Buffalo now, quarterback. So obviously Josh Allen started 2 for 3, 22 yards, one carry for 7 yards. So, you know, just Josh Allen got out there, got his feet wet. Trubisky came in 10 for 18, 82 yards, three carries for 12 yards. I mean, Trubisky's going to be the backup on this team. I'm not in love with him, but with the injury to Shane Buechele, who's going to miss some time, and they ended up picking up Ben DiNucci as their new third quarterback, Trubisky is locked in as the backup anyway. So if you are a Josh Allen owner and you want to have his backup, Trubisky is the guy to get. Running back-wise, so they couldn't run the ball for shit. This Bears defense is legit. Even the second string is pretty tough, too. And, you know, they were still missing Montez Sweat, and a couple other guys didn't even play. But, yeah, James Cook was 4 for 2. Ray Davis, 5 for 2. They couldn't run the ball. So Frank Gore was their leading rusher, 7 for 21. So take that with what you will. Khalil Shakir, 3 for 28. Curtis Samuel, 2 for 23. Ray Davis, 3 for 19. Frank Gore Jr., 3 for 16. Yeah, nothing really too major here to take away from the receivers. Keon Coleman, 3 targets, 1 catch for 8 yards. I'd like to see a little bit more from Keon Coleman going forward here for Buffalo. But not much to take away from Buffalo, but the Bears definitely stock up for them right now. All right, let's take a look at the Raiders and Vikings now. So quarterbacks for the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell did get the start. He went 7 for 9, 76 yards. Pretty decent outing there for Aiden O'Connell. And then Gardner Minshew came in. He went 5 for 12, 117 yards and a touchdown pass. And then he had a nice little 20-yard touchdown pass to DJ Turner there. If I had to pick right now from everything that I've read and seen, I think Minshew has probably got a slight lead here. I'd say it's like 55-45. Like, it's still close, but I would give the slight hedge to Minshew right now over O'Connell. Running back-wise, Sincere McCormick, he played deeper into the game, 11 for 32. Nothing great there, but maybe a practice squad player. Zamir White had an opening drive, or had a touchdown there in the second quarter, 6 for 23 and a touchdown there. Kind of concerning that Zamir White was playing into the second quarter, but maybe they just wanted him to play with O'Connell and Minshew. I don't know. Madison, 3 for 15. Anthony Brown, the third quarterback, 5 for 13. Dylan Lobb, 4 for 8. We'd like to see a little bit more from Dylan Lobb in the rushing game, but pretty decent there from the receivers. Trey Tucker, 2 for 73. He had a 44-yard catch that he had. Trey Tucker is looking more and more like he's going to be the locked-in wide receiver 3 here for the Raiders. Jacoby Myers on the opening drive was really good, 3 for 45 on his 3 targets. Brock Bowers had a couple nice catches, 2 for 25 on his 2 targets. DJ Turner, who I talked about last week, is looking like he should have a role on this team as either the 4th or 5th receiver. Dylan Lobb didn't do anything in the receiving game either, so I'm hoping to see a little bit more of Dylan Lobb going here forward. On to the Vikings now. So quarterbacks, obviously Sam Darnold started 4 for 8, 59 yards. Sam Darnold was definitely launching the ball downfield too. He was taking some shots, so it's good to see that he was aggressive. J.J. McCarthy, 11 for 17, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick from McCarthy. McCarthy looked really good. Unfortunately, after the news today, he suffered a torn meniscus. They went in and checked it out. It was completely torn, so he is out for the season. So J.J. McCarthy out for the season. What do you do with J.J. McCarthy? I think any first-round pick, 2025 first-round pick, I think you can sell J.J. McCarthy for that and get out on him if you don't feel like keeping him. I'm fine, totally fine IRing him. If you need somebody for this year, can I get a second and a player back that's useful to me this year? I think that's doable. Can I get a second and Zamir White if you need a running back? I think that's fair. Can I get a second and, you know, what kind of receiver can I get? Could I get, I don't know, let's pull up my list here. Can we get a second and Adonai Mitchell, who's looking really good right now? A second and Jacoby Myers? You know, I probably would want to shoot a little bit higher than that. Can I get Cortland Sutton in a second? Something like that. I think those are all doable things for you right now. If you wanted to trade J.J. McCarthy. Jaren Hall also played 7 for 16, 63 yards, nothing too major there. But Jaren Hall should be locked in right now is at least the third quarterback with Nick Mullins, who did not play. Running backs, so Aaron Jones did not play in this one. Ty Chandler started 7 for 33. I thought Ty Chandler looked all right. You know, Ty Chandler. We've seen what he can do. Kenahan Wongnu, though, 5 for 52. He had a 48-yard run. So it kind of shows you his yards. He had a 52 yards, and his longest is 48. So, you know, Kenne still needs to learn the position a little bit. But, man, he gets open field. He's got that burst, man. 48-yard run there in the second quarter. That was a really nice touchdown run. Miles Gaskin, 5 for 22. We'll see if Miles Gaskin can make the team. Dwayne McBride, 3 for 17. Probably want to see a little bit more of these guys in the preseason before I make a final judgment there. Wide receiver-wise, so also today that just came out while I was recording this is potential something on Jordan Addison. Sounds like maybe an ACL injury. As of this recording, I don't know the severity of Jordan Addison's injury, but that's something to monitor. So if Jordan Addison is out for the season, if he is out for the season, it is going to be Justin Jefferson, Jalen Naylor, and Brandon Powell are going to be the starting three receivers there for them. This kid, Tristan Jackson, who came over with O'Connell from the Rams, he's just been a practice squad player for the Rams and the Vikings the last couple years. But he made some plays in this game. He had four catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, caught one of the touchdowns, obviously, from McCarthy. Trent Sherfield is on this team, too, who's definitely been a player in this league for a couple years. I think Sherfield would fit in there with Tristan Jackson. So I think those are guys you're going to have to monitor here if something happens to Addison. But if Jalen Naylor is out there, go get Jalen Naylor right now if you can. He has been really good in preseason, looked really good there on the opening drive with Sam Darnold. He had 3 for 63 in this game. So, yeah, that's definitely a guy I want to keep right now is Jalen Naylor. And hopefully you guys have been listening to me the last couple of weeks to pick up Jalen Naylor. I've picked up quite a bit of Jalen Naylor already, so hopefully you're not in the league with me and he's not owned already. All right, let's look at Green Bay now and Cleveland. So we'll start with the Green Bay side of things. Jordan Love did start. Obviously was awesome. 2 for 2, 63 yards, touchdown pass to Dontavian Wicks, a one catch for 65 yards there from Jordan Love. Really good ball, just smoked the corner. I mean, couldn't get any easier than that from Dontavian Wicks. Sean Clifford was the next guy in, 10 for 19, 111 yards. I think Clifford is probably the backup right now. Michael Pratt played pretty decent, 5 for 7, 46 yards too. I just think Clifford has the upper hand right now, but I do think Michael Pratt, I think he's a better player, but that's just my bias probably talking. Running backs here for Green Bay. So Emmanuel Wilson, man, the guy from last year who really stepped up there. He looked great. 13 for 67 and a touchdown. He is playing down the stretch for them. He played in the playoff game a little bit. I think Emmanuel Wilson is making his case to make this team. And usually Green Bay the last couple years, they do not keep more than three running backs. I remember 2 years ago, they only kept Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon on the active roster. That was it. Last year, they did add in Emmanuel Wilson. Last year, it was Jones, Dillon, and Wilson. So can Wilson and Patrick Taylor was on the team too, I believe. But Wilson, can he stick on this team full time? I think there's a possibility. And if they let him go, man. Somebody's going to pick out Wilson. I think Wilson's a guy I want to stash on my rosters right now. So Emmanuel Wilson's a good one. Howard, 8 for 44. He had a couple of nice runs there for the Packers as well, deep in the game. Nobody else really did anything there from them. Wide receiver-wise, I think the one that stood out was Grant Dubois. 5 for 55 on his catches. Yeah, with Clifford and Pratt, I mean, Dubois look pretty good. I think he's a guy fighting for, I mean, this is a super deep wide receiver core, so they're fighting for the fifth or sixth spots. It's Dubois, it's Malik Heath, it's Bo Melton, who they really like, Samari Toure. They're fighting for the five and six wide receiver jobs, and yeah, this is a super deep receiver core right now, so I don't really have too much of a take on there, but Dubois did look good from what I did see. Probably have to play some more preseason games to figure that mess out. On to the Browns. So Deshaun Watson did not play. Jameis Winston was in there for a couple drives, 4 for 5, 30 yards. Tyler Huntley, he was 6 for 9, 41 yards. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, though, 14 for 18, 134 yards. I thought DTR looked really good in this game. He showed some poise, stood in there, made a couple nice throws. Even though they were down quite a bit, they had to throw a little bit more. I thought DTR looked pretty good. Running back-wise, they couldn't get shit going running the ball. Pierre Strong led the team, 6 for 15. Pierre Strong, he just kind of runs into his linemen too much. He's not making quick, decisive cuts. So that's a little bit concerning. Aiden Robbins, the UDFA, 5 for 6, but he had a touchdown run there at the end in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, nothing too much there to glean from the running backs. Jamari Thrash, the fifth-round pick, he played pretty good. I think he's locked in right now as the fifth receiver on this team. 3 catches for 43 yards. Jordan Akins, 2 for 25. Michael Woods, who's been with this team quite a bit, 2 for 22. Zier Mitchell-Payton, 3 for 20. Yeah, so there's a couple interesting players here, but it's mostly just the backups here for the Browns. Not too much to glean from some of these backups right now. Tampa Bay, Cincinnati. So Tampa Bay first. Kyle Trask was in there as a starter, 12 for 20, 144 yards with a pick. John Wolford came in. He was just as good, 12 for 18, 131 yards. I've also read that maybe this is a little bit more of a competition between Wolford and Trask. We'll keep an eye on that. Running backs, Sean Tucker, man, 10 for 68. Sean Tucker had a couple of really nice runs there, so I like that. Williams, their UDFA, 29 rushing yards. And Bucky Irving, the draft pick, 28 yards rushing and a touchdown. I thought Bucky Irving looked explosive, too. He played ahead of some of these other guys. And at the end of the first quarter there, Bucky Irving got the touchdown. So really nice from Bucky Irving. Ryan Miller led the team in receiving, 3 for 42. Rakeem Jarrett, 2 for 35. Payne Durham, the tight end, 2 for 27. Cody Thompson, 3 for 26. Ramon Jefferson, the running back, 2 for 23. And he had a touchdown run. Jalen McMillan, I thought he looked pretty decent on his couple catches, 2 for 23. Trey Palmer had a really nice catch, 1 for 21. It sounded like Jalen McMillan should be one of the outside starters here in three receiver sets, and Godwin would go into the slot here. And then Trey Palmer, I think Trey Palmer will definitely get some run too. Rakeem Jarrett, I'm interested to see if he makes the team. I liked him. Ryan Miller's been a guy that's been around too, so we'll see what happens there on the Tampa Bay wide receiver front. But yeah, some really good things there too. And then kind of listening to the underdog guys today, they talked about Graham Barton and how they thought he might have been the rookie of the week. That Graham Barton was absolutely dominating out there as the center. And that really opened up a lot of holes in the running game this week for them. So keep an eye on that for Tampa Bay and Graham Barton. Looking at the Bengals now, so Joe Burrow did start 5 for 7, 51 yards on a touchdown pass. No injuries, thank goodness. Jake Browning, 10 for 18, 52 yards. I guess Browning did suffer a little bit of an injury. He'll be out a couple weeks. So that's going to give Logan Woodside some more time here as the backup. 8 for 12, 149 yards, and a touchdown for Logan Woodside, which is surprising because Logan Woodside sucks. But he did throw a touchdown to Jermaine Burton in the fourth quarter. Running back wise, they did not do anything. The leading rusher was Chase Brown, 5 for 10. That's it. No, nothing really else to report on the running backs. Wide receivers, Jermaine Burton, 3 for 82, and the touchdown there from Logan Woodside. It sounds like Osi Voss is going to be the starter in the slot, and Jermaine Burton's going to kind of have to be the fourth receiver for now. So I think that's kind of where the things stand. Osi Voss did have a catch, 1 for 23. Tanner McLaughlin, 1 for 23. This is another team that, you know, I've talked about in the past with these tight end fuckfests, where they have literally four or five guys, and that's how the Bengals are right now. McLaughlin, Eric All, Mike Gesicki, Drew Sample, and Tanner Hudson. Like, they literally have five tight ends, so something is going to have to happen there. Maybe they can trade one of these tight ends. And then the other receivers, let's see. T. Higgins, he's the one who caught the touchdown from Joe Burrow. T. Higgins looked good. Hakeem Butler, 1 for 12, the USFL guy. Or the UFL, as now it's called. But that's about it from the Bengals. Nothing else really too much to report there. All right, our next game up here is the Chiefs and the Jags. So we'll start with the Chiefs side of the ball. Mahomes did play a drive out there, 3 for 4 on 27 yards. Carson Wentz was next through, 4 for 4, 25 yards. Ian Book, he actually played pretty good, 8 for 9, 46 yards. Chris Oladokun, 7 for 10 on 85 yards. So all the Chiefs quarterbacks all looked pretty decent. Nothing, minor to report there. Running back wise, Carson Steele, 4 for 29 and a touchdown, and that touchdown was in the second quarter. I've seen a lot of people picking up Carson Steele this week. He's more of like a fullback, like slash power back. Not somebody I want to be picking up, to be honest. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's kind of how I've always seen him. Denarik Prince had 4 carries for 16 yards. Pacheco, 2 for 16. Keontae Ingram, 4 for 12. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 2 carries for no yards. Amani Bailey, 2 for 6. So nothing really stood out there at the running back position. Receiver-wise, Nicky Remigio, 3 for 35. He was the leading receiver. Cornell Powell, still alive, 3 for 24. Justin Ross, 1 for 23. That's really it for the receivers. There's nothing really too much else to report there. Nobody really stood out. The only thing that we can report there is the injury to Hollywood Marquise Brown. Had that shoulder injury, kind of similar to what Tyreek Hill had a couple years ago with the Chiefs. Probably going to be up to week one. It's usually a 4 to 6 week injury. If he misses week one against Baltimore, I wouldn't be surprised. The Chiefs did that last year with Travis Kelce. Remember when Kelce missed week one against the Lions last year? And they had that early Thursday game. So I could see giving Hollywood that extra, time to get ready for week two. Even though it's his former team and I know he's going to want to be hyped and ready for that game, it might be smarter to sit him out for and not play him until week two, just like they did last year with Travis Kelce. That's kind of what my feeling is right now. And I think Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice and all those guys will be just fine. I'm not worried about them. Let's look at the Jags here. So Trevor Lawrence, 3 for 4, 42 yards, and a touchdown pass. His touchdown pass was to Travis Etienne on a nice little Texas route out of the backfield. Really nice play to Travis Etienne. Hopefully we see a little bit more of that this year. C.J. Beathard was next through, 7 for 14, 125 yards, and a touchdown from C.J. Beathard, who threw one up to Devin Duvernay in the second quarter there. I thought that was a really nice play, too. So, like seeing that from Beathard. Here's the scary one. Even though his numbers look good, 9 for 11, 98 yards, Mac Jones. Mac Jones played the rest of the game. He's played into the fourth quarter to the end of the game, and just everything we've heard on Mac Jones so far, he hasn't been very good at the Jags camp. Maybe Mac Jones is broken. I still want to hold on to him in leagues, but it's teetering on not being a good career for Mac Jones. Something happened there with him, so I don't know what it is. Running back-wise, so D'Ernest Johnson, 5 for 31. Still really, really like what I see from him. Jackson, he had 5 for 29 as well. Tank Bigsby, 3 for 28 rushing the ball. I thought Tank Bigsby looked pretty good in his couple of runs that he had. Travis Etienne, only 4 carries for 3 yards, so nothing too major there. Josiah DeGuara led the team in receiving with 3 for 42. I think DeGuara definitely has a shot to make the team as like the third tight end slash fullback type. Brian Thomas, obviously the rookie, first round rookie, 1 catch for 41 yards. That was a really nice, deep ball to him. We haven't really heard too much on Brian Thomas this offseason. You haven't seen like all the hype on him. So I'm hoping Brian Thomas maybe in these next couple games can really show that he's going to be the starter out there. I think one thing to note too that the underdog guys talked about was it was, 2 receiver sets. It was Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis out there, and Christian Kirk was out, and then obviously Christian Kirk would go into the slot when they would go in the 3 wide. So that's something to monitor going forward. Duvernay, I talked about, he had the touchdown. D'Ernest Johnson, 1 catch for 23 yards. Gabe Davis, 1 for 20. Parker Washington had 1 for 10 in the receiving game, and then he also had a kick return, I think. No, it wasn't a touchdown, but it was a 73-yard kick return from Parker Washington. So Parker Washington making a name for himself to maybe be a part of that team, special teams unit there. Let's go over now. We're going to take a look at San Fran and Tennessee. So starting here with San Francisco side of the ball. Brandon Allen at quarterback, 7 for 13, 98 yards. He's the one who started here. I thought he looked pretty good. Josh Dobbs was in after him, and he played most of the game after that. 14 for 20, 146 yards, and an interception, which was at the very last play of the game. So it was nice to see Dobbs, look a little bit better than what we've heard about in camp. He also ran a touchdown in the fourth quarter there to kind of get the team back in the game. Dobbs is kind of like a gamer that seems like maybe he just he needs to learn this offense a little bit more. Rushing, so they did not run the ball very much, but Jordan Mason did lead the team in rushing, 6 for 34 and a touchdown, and that touchdown was in first quarter, so Jordan Mason was the starter. Cody Schrader was the other running back who played, 5 for 6. Matt Breida, 5 for 0. So we'll see what happens there. They have a lot of running back injuries going on there right now, and we'll see what happens there. But Jordan Mason, if he happens to be on your waiver wires, pick up Jordan Mason, absolutely. Tay Martin led the team in receiving, 5 for 58. I thought he looked pretty good. Trent Taylor, the veteran, 3 for 48. Frank Darby, who just signed with the team, he had a nice catch over the middle, 1 for 33. Chris Conley, 2 for 30. The tight end, Jake Tongs, 3 for 27. Ronnie Bell had a couple of nice catches with the starters, 2 for 22. So nothing too much to report there from the other receivers. Let's take a look now at the Titans. So obviously Will Levis started, 4 for 5, 35 yards. He also had a touchdown run from the goal line. So nice little goal line rush there for Will Levis. Mason Rudolph was the backup, 10 for 17, 126 yards. I thought Mason Rudolph looked pretty decent as well. And it sounds like everything at camp, he's pretty much locked in right now as the backup. Malik Willis, he was the other quarterback that played. He was the third running back here, 5 for 7, 38 yards. And then let's take a look at the Titans rushing. And then looking at the Titans rushing game. So Malik Willis obviously led the rushing there, 4 for 42. And then Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears basically were like, not series for series, but like play for play almost. Like Pollard would get 2 plays. Tajay would come in for like a play or two. So they are kind of basically 1A, 1B, like they've put on their depth chart. So that's kind of what we're looking at here with the Titans. I think both guys are going to be useful this year, kind of like Najee Harris and Jalen Warren for the Steelers. They're going to be 1A, 1Bs. They're probably weekly RB2s, the flex plays. I don't think they're ever going to be RB1s. But Pollard, 4 for 35. He had a nice run for 24 yards. That was nice. Tajay only had 3 for 2, but he did have the touchdown run at the goal line, which was nice. Hassan Haskins, 8 for 27. I think Haskins is pretty much locked up a third running back job here, barring an injury or anything. But I like what I've heard and read on Haskins this year so far, and he has probably dropped everywhere. So check your waiver wires. Hassan Haskins could definitely be a guy you can pick up. Jabari Small, the UDFA out of Tennessee, he had 10 carries for 18 yards, and that was playing deep into the game. Julius Chestnut, 5 for 9. That's about it there. Receiving-wise, Chestnut did lead the team in receiving, 2 for 37. Martin Robinson, the receiver that they drafted, 2 for 30. Mason Kinsey, 2 for 29, and he's been a really good returner for them, too. Calvin Ridley, he had one catch for 22 yards. He caught that from Mason Rudolph, I believe. Kyle Phillips, 3 for 18. Treylon Burks, 1 for 12. Tony Pollard, 2 for 11. That was about it there for the Titans. Not too much more to report there from the receivers, but good to see Hassan Haskins back out there. I was excited to see that because I've picked up quite a bit of him. Now on to the Seahawks and Chargers game. So we'll start with the Seahawks. Sam Howell was the starter, 16 for 27, 130 yards and a touchdown. He was getting beat up there early in the game. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Washington a little bit, but he did play good. I thought he should be the backup there. 4 carries for 17 yards as well. P.J. Walker came in to finish it off, 4 for 10, 60 yards. Running back wise, so Kenny McIntosh, the former Georgia 7th round pick from last year, he had 40 yards rushing. I thought McIntosh looked pretty good, and all things from camp say he's looked pretty good there too. I think he's definitely the favorite for the 3 job. Kobe Lewis, 10 for 33. George Halani, 6 for 25 and a touchdown. Halani got that there in the second quarter, so it was nice to see Halani get some run there too. I like him. And Charbonnet got a couple carries, 2 for 6, nothing major there. Wide receiver wise, so Derek Young led the team at receiving, 3 for 44. Chenault, 2 for 31. Cody White, 2 for 30. Aesop Winston, 2 for 30. Russell, 3 for 25 and a touchdown. He's the one who caught the touchdown from Sam Howell. And JSN caught a couple balls, 2 for 13. Jake Bobo, 1 for 7. So nothing really to report there from the receivers. You know, I think the top four is pretty settled here with Metcalf, Lockett, JSN, Jake Bobo. And I think the rest of these guys are fighting for 5 and 6. On to the Chargers. So, like I always talk about, Easton Stick. Absolutely terrible. 5 for 13, 31 yards and a pick. Looked like shit, under pressure. He's just not very good. And if Justin Herbert misses any time, this team's fucked. Absolutely fucked. Unless they go out and sign Ryan Tannehill. Max Duggan, he was 4 for 7, 41 yards. Honestly, I'd probably prefer Duggan over Stick. Luis Perez, who came in, just signed there. 5 for 12, 61 yards. I thought Perez looked okay. He looked better than fucking Easton Stick does. So we'll see what happens there. Jarrett Patterson led the team in rushing, 7 for 38. You know, it sounds like Kamani Vidal did pick up an injury in this game, so that's why he didn't really play at all. But Jarrett Patterson, it sounds like he might be the favorite for the third job right now over Vidal. So Jarrett Patterson might be a guy that's actually worth picking up here. We'll see how the rest of these preseason games play out here, but Jarrett Patterson might be a guy worth picking up. Max Duggan, 2 for 15. Elijah Dotson, 3 for 7. Isaiah Spiller, 5 for 5. They just could not run the ball on the Seahawks, basically. And then looking at the Chargers receivers, so Jay Johnson, 1 for 36. Simi Fehoko, 3 for 33. Isaiah Spiller had 3 for 18, so that was nice. Elijah Dotson, 2 for 11. And that is it, guys. Like, they just did not produce any offense. And when you have Easton Stick as your quarterback, that is probably what is going to happen to your team. You're going to be struggling to even create any type of offense. So that's what happened there with the Chargers. 3 more games here. We'll get through them here quickly. New Orleans and Arizona. Start with New Orleans side. Derek Carr And this is another team with offensive line problems. Like the Cardinals, who don't have that great of a pass rush, are just getting after Derek Carr here. The Saints lost, you know, their right tackle for the year. They put Trevor Penning out there, who is an absolute just open door swinging in the wind. Is Jake Brown or Trevor Penning? He's just absolutely awful. This team is in some dire straits here at offensive line, and I think it's going to affect this team quite a bit this year. So we'll have to watch out for that. Jake Haener was next through, 9-for-13 for 107, and Spencer Rattler 9-for-17 for 70. I thought both had some good plays. Spencer Rattler did have a touchdown run in the third quarter. I thought both looked okay, but I think Haener has the upper hand right now. Running back wise, so Jordan Mims 10-for-38, James Robinson 7-for-27, and Jamal Williams 6-for-20. Those are your main rushers. Kamara did get a couple carries for 3 yards, but nothing spectacular. Jordan Mims is definitely making a case to make this team. Still no Kendre Miller out there. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they try and trade Kendre Miller. A.T. Perry led the team in receiving, 4-for-85. 58 was his long. I talked a little bit last week about A.T. Perry being like with the third team. I think he's starting to pick it up a little bit, which is nice for them. Hopefully this continues through the preseason here, and maybe he can get in there with the first team. Dalen Holker, the tight end, UDFA out of Colorado State, 3-for-24. Samson Nakua, who they just picked up, 2-for-19. He actually looked pretty decent too. But that's really it there for the wide receivers. Nothing too much else to report there. Arizona side. So Clayton Tune played most of the game. Desmond Ritter did start, 4-for-9, 43 yards. Was not very good. He had 5 rushes for 39 yards. And then Clayton Tune finished it up, 15-for-24, 163 yards on a touchdown. I did look at an Arizona 53-man projection who kept only 2 quarterbacks, and they kept Tune and Kyler Murray and cut Desmond Ritter, which would be interesting to see if that actually happened. I don't think it will. But it just kind of just shows you what people think of Desmond Ritter. Like, he just wasn't good in Atlanta. He's still not good. I think he's a very average replacement starter that you could, if you had to roll him out for a week or two, you could be okay with. But as a long-term starter, Desmond Ritter is not it. Running backs, Michael Carter, 7-for-41 and a touchdown. Michael Carter had the touchdown run in the third quarter. I think that's a little worrisome that Michael Carter's out here playing into the third quarter, but we'll see what happens there. Trey Benson had 8-for-21. DJ Dallas, 3-for-21. Tony Jones, 5-for-11. Receiving wise, so Dan Chisna, he was the leading receiver at 5-for-63. Andre Baselia, 2-for-27. Tony Jones had 3 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown. Blake Whitehart, the tight end, 2-for-22. Xavier Weaver, who I really like, 2-for-12. I've seen a couple of people talk about Xavier Weaver as a guy that could make this team as a UDFA wide receiver. If you remember me talking about him during the draft process, this is a guy from Colorado I really liked. He just didn't get the draft capital, obviously. 2 more games here. All right, next one up is Denver and Indianapolis. So this is the highest scoring game of the weekend, 34-30. So a lot of highlights here. Jarrett Stidham did start. He went 4-for-7, 37 yards and a pick. And then Bo Nix came in, and Bo Nix was phenomenal. 15-for-21, 125 yards and a touchdown. Also had 3 carries for 17 yards. So I thought Bo Nix looked really good. And then Zach Wilson came in and played behind him, 10-for-13, 117 yards. So Zach Wilson actually looked pretty good here. So this is going to be your 3 quarterbacks. I think it's between Nix and Stidham to see who's going to start. I think it's going to end up being Bo Nix ultimately. Running back, so Audric Estime, 10-for-31 and a touchdown. And Estime got that one in the third quarter. Jaleel McLaughlin, 7-for-30. And he also... he did not have a touchdown. 7-for-30, though, on the rushing game. Pretty good. Blake Watson is the one who had the touchdown. 9-for-26 and a touchdown. He got that touchdown in the fourth quarter. Blake Watson was one of my favorite UDFAs this year, so hoping to see a little bit more from him in the preseason here. And Tyler Beatty also had a touchdown, 2 for 13 on touchdown. Javonte Williams did start, 4 for 15 out there. Wide receiver, so Cortland Sutton, 2 for 35 was the leading receiver. Blake Watson also had a catch for 33 yards. That was a nice play. Lucas Kroll, who I've liked quite a bit, 4 for 31. Greg Dulcich did not play in this game, so I want to see a little bit more from Dulcich because he's been getting quite a bit of hype there from some Denver beat writers that I've been reading about as well. But I think Kroll and Dulcich will be guys that you want to play with. Marvin Mims, 2 catches for 17 yards and a touchdown from Bo Nix, which was a 1 yard pass. Let's see, Brandon Johnson, 2 for 22. Jaleel McLaughlin, 2 for 26. Hunter Campmoyer, the tight end, 3 for 29. David Sills, 2 for 15. Tim Patrick, 1 for 14. Audric Estime, 3 for 13. Nice to see Estime getting some catches as well, too. He's not just a just a guy out there. Oh, yeah, Dulcich did play. I'm sorry. 1 catch for 5 yards from Dulcich there. But, yeah, nice to see Estime catching some passes out there. So I was happy to see that from him. Definitely one of the guys I'm stashing this year that I think could have a role at some point this year. On to the Colts now. So Richardson played a drive, 2 for 4, 25 yards. Joe Flacco was next through, 3 for 5, 28 yards. Sam Ellinger, 5 for 6, 80 yards on the pick. Jason Bean, the quarterback from Kansas, 4 for 6, 51 yards, and a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. And Keaton Slovis, 3 for 5, for 39 yards as well. So they played 5 quarterbacks here. Jason Bean was the leading rusher, 4 for 24. Evan Hole ran a touchdown in, 8 for 16 and a touchdown. Tyler Goodson, 7 for 15 and a touchdown. Evan Hole had his touchdown in the second quarter, and Tyler Goodson had his in the fourth quarter. So Hole did play ahead of Goodson, but we've heard Goodson could be ahead of Hole. We'll have to see how that plays out here in the rest of the preseason. And then receiving-wise, DJ Montgomery led the team in receiving at 2 for 45. Will Mallory, 2 for 31. Mo Alie-Cox, 1 for 19. The Will Mallory play, a couple nice catches there from him. Treadwell, I said, caught the touchdown, 1 for 16 and a touchdown. Jelani Woods, 1 for 17. They're just using all their tight ends. Kylan Granson, 1 for 6. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Josh Downs suffered a sprained ankle. That's probably going to keep him out to the start of the season, if not into the season. And that's just one of those injuries, sprained ankles to wide receivers that keep you out a month or more are super dangerous. Like, he might not even be right all season. So that's going to suck. So when they did do that, it was Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce on the outside, and they moved A.D. Mitchell into the slot. So if that happens this year and Josh Downs isn't right and A.D. Mitchell goes into the slot quite a bit, I think that's a big boost up there for A.D. Mitchell. I'll be drafting a little bit more A.D. Mitchell if that is the case. And then our last game here, guys, Dallas and the Rams. So Cooper Rush did start, 2 for 33, 44 yards, and then he gave way to Trey Lance. And Trey Lance had some good plays, and he had some bad plays, too. Like, he just throws the ball high too much. Yeah, I mean, he does some good things, and he does some bad things, but he just needs experience. He needs to play. 25 for 41, 188 yards. He also led the team in rushing, 6 for 44. So he can obviously scramble still, but he's just got to work on that passing. Zeke did not play, but Rico Dowdle started, 3 for 14. Malik Davis, 8 for 18. Snoop Connor, 3 for 10. It sounded like Rico Dowdle might be the starter here, so keep an eye on that as well. Receivers, Jalen Brooks led the team in receiving, 2 for 49. Kevin Harmon, 2 for 38. Jalen Moreno-Cropper, 4 for 26. Deontay Burnett, 2 for 23. Malik Davis, 2 for 20. John Stevens Jr., who I like, 3 for 19. Brevin Spanford, 2 for 13 at tight end as well. So A lot of interesting battles there for the back half of the roster here for Dallas. We'll have to see next week how it plays out and see who steps up there. And then lastly for the Rams. So Stetson Bennett is the one who played the entire game as the quarterback. He went 24 for 38, 224 yards, a touchdown, and four picks. Obviously led the team finally to the end to get the touchdown at the end to win it. But four picks is not good for Stetson Bennett. So he has a lot of... maturing to do there. He's going to have to learn, what throws he can and can't not make. So, obviously this is kind of like his first time playing since last preseason. So, it's good to at least see him out there. I thought he looked pretty decent though. Minus all those interceptions, running back. So Boston Scott, 15 for 68, Zach Evans, 12 for 28. I'm not seeing Zach Evans ever making it in the NFL. The one I was really impressed with was Jordan Whittington, the wide receiver. 9 targets, 6 for 74. You could just tell, man, Jordan Whittington, he should be a player. If he's on your waiver wires, I'm picking him up. I'm not going to say he's Puka Nacua or anything like that, but I think if there's some injuries here, I think Jordan Whittington could step in and at least be a fantasy contributor for us. I forget his first name, but S. Wiglos. He was supposed to be their returner this year. It looks like he might. 3 for 36. Drake Stoops, obviously the son of Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma head coach, 3 for 27. Zach Evans caught a ball for 24 yards. Xavier Smith, 4 for 22. And Miller Forrestall, the former Browns tight end, 3 for 20 and the touchdown there as time expired to win the game there for the Rams. So that is it this week, guys, for America's game and kind of going over the games here. We'll catch you up back next week. We'll talk about some week 2 games and what all happened there for week 2 preseason that's going to be starting here on Thursday here when you're listening to this on tonight's game. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to some more preseason football here. I know Saturday there's a ton of games, so Saturday is going to be the big day to check it out, all these preseason games. Hopefully no more injuries, please. Let's stop with these injuries. We already lost McCarthy. We may have lost Addison for the year. We'll see what happens there. So appreciate you guys if you tapped in this long to listen to my thoughts here on the game so far and who's doing good and who's not, who you pick up. But yeah, that is going to be it until next week, guys. So at Eric Vanek NFL on Twitter, at America's Game Pod on Twitter as well, at South Harmon FF on Twitter and YouTube. Follow all those accounts. Leave a review, rating, all that good stuff. Check out all our other awesome shows that are on the YouTube and on the podcast formats. Listening in there. Doing a lot of stuff now on the YouTubes with everybody. So it's going really, really well. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it too. So until next week for episode number 56, we will see you. Have a good one. We'll be right back.